Right now it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, geese, politics, sports, whatever. And he brings his well over 40 years of experience, well over, to those subjects and more. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you, Jill, everybody. What happened to that car?
The geese did not get it. The car led a long life. Never had a scratch on it till one day my son learned how to drive, and he came home that first night, and there was a hole in the driver's side door. And I said to him, you know what? We're not claiming this to insurance. I'm going to get it fixed, and you're going to pay for it. And he did. Cost $1,000, and he paid for it. But it was a great car, but it was my first expensive car ever. Jim, there was no lie. When I was sitting in the car dealership signing for the loan, my hand was shaking because it was a $25,000 loan on a car.
Well, you've come a long way, my boy, a long way.
Well, seeing as my first house only cost $12,000, when I told my mother I bought my first house, she goes, what type of house is this? My car cost.
That's a good lead into my brother's story, where he when he was at UC Santa Cruz late 70s, his rent, he always said it cost his dad more to keep his car in a garage in New York than to keep his son in a garage in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, but yeah, you could buy houses back in 1975 for $10,000, $12,000. I had a two-family house for $12,000.
Incredible. Huh? Yeah. Incredible.
Of course. Anyways, so now, we'll finish with our stories. Jim, it's on to you.
Oh, my stories are so long. let's talk a little economics for a moment. The second quarter GNP was good, 4.1%. However, you should be aware some of that growth came from people buying in advance of the tariffs. For instance, the Chinese bought a lot of soybeans before the tariffs hit. And there are other people who bought parts before the tariff hits. So look for a little decline in the third quarter. Along the line of tariffs close to home up in Fairfield, Connecticut, a little plant is closed. They basically put together TV sets. 126 people out of work. Because of the tariffs on the Chinese components, making it too expensive for them to make a profit out of what they were doing, we're seeing some hits in the real estate area, be it in New York or California. It's got nothing to do with the fires. Prices might have exhausted themselves, or the buyers have decided they're going to be a little bit more conservative. So prices are coming off in the city, New York City, and in California. And also back to the disruptions in the economy in various countries. The yuan, the Chinese currency, has been taking a hit versus the dollar. As a result of it, the Chinese buyers of real estate in Seattle, Washington, where they had been big buyers, wanting to put their kids in colleges in this country and putting a domicile up. So that's dried up. So we have a lot of economic things happening which belie the headlines, which say everything is hunky-dory. On that score, interest rates will continue to edge up. So if you are in the housing market, and I wouldn't wait on rates. I'd take the rate you can get now for a mortgage. I would be careful, however, in putting up enough money so that you're not strapped if you have any economic difficulties.
I have a question right around this, because my mortgage company for my house has been sold about 9,000 times, and it's now Mr. Cooper stupid name, from NationStar. And it's an adjustable rate mortgage that I've had for a long, 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 long time. And I think they're only allowed to raise it a certain amount. But it sure looks to me, suddenly, since Mr. Cooper's gotten, where the heck he is, gotten his little paws on it, mitts on it, that it was a massive jump over and above, let's just say, what, like, it was to the over and above the rise in interest rates. So what, just a little a clinic on that, please, sir, because I think people are going to have to look at, if they've got that, look at any changes and perhaps make sure that they're not being victimized, if you will.
Well, that's a great, great point you bring up. If you do have an adjustable rate, I would make it a fixed rate. I'd do that right now. And forget whether they're unfairly raising the rate. You know, you have a contract, and it says specifically how much they can raise it and so forth. However, that said, if interest rates go up, then they will just continue to raise your rates. I think an adjustable rate mortgage at this time is a very dangerous thing to have.
Let's just say that you have it, though. That's kind of what I wanted. Can you also try to pay down on it?
No, just try to get a standard rate that's lower.
Right, but sometimes, just like trying to get your credit card company to behave and treat you like a human being, these are, or your, you know, these are now so fully owned by, I'm not sure who, that trying to even get in there without them just clobbering you with paperwork is diabolical. So I'm kind of wondering what your rights are.
Well, your rights are what you signed up for. I mean, it's right in the mortgage, in the terms of the mortgage. But I wouldn't fiddle around with it. I would get a fixed rate,
right?
Because here's one of the problems with an adjustable rate, among many things. If rates start going up, right, and the economy starts weakening because of it or because of other reasons, you could be in a situation where you're paying a lot of money on a home that's declining in value, possibly because of interest rates, definitely if the economy is going south. Adjustable rates work sometimes, but they don't work over a long period of time. And you've been in a very, very low interest rate period. And, you know, the banks are going to look to the banks or the mortgage companies are going to look to make money out of any rise in rates. So I would get a fixed rate.
Okay. And so that means contacting either your bank or the owner of your mortgage or whatever, correct?
Right. Well, you say owner of your mortgage. You mentioned mortgage company. Pardon me?
I shouldn't have used the word owner.
Okay. Lender. Thing of it is, yeah, pick up the phone. Get going. Get the paperwork in there and get it done.
Move on it. Now, you know, it reminds me, Jim, back when I was a kid and I was going to make it rich early, I bought that first house for $10,000, $12,000. I bought a second house in Hurley, New York, a beautiful stone ranch, for about $15,000-$16,000. And then I bought a house on the Hudson River, the town of Esopus, overlooking the Hudson River, that was foreclosed on because it was owned by a drug dealer for about $35,000, right? I did all this. Remember back when they first introduced variable rate mortgages?
Yep.
Jimmy Carter.
I did all that. Jimmy Carter was president. Well, exactly 1 year after I did that, and I had all those houses, and it was looking great, and I was paying, I think it was like $400-some-odd a month. I had rented out and stuff like that. My interest rate went up 12.5% in 1 year. and forced me at a very young age to learn a very cruel lesson in life. When you sign your personal name on a line and you can't afford it, bankruptcy. And that bankruptcy followed me for 14 years.
Mm-hmm. I had, around that time, I had, let's just call him, I had a boyfriend who was just absolutely a financial wizard, so he took a loan with an adjustable rate, and boy, that hurt.
But this could kill me. My mortgage payment went from like $480 some a month to almost close to $1,400 a month.
And it's just not affordable.
So it was a crusher. There was no way, you couldn't hide it. You had to declare bankruptcy right away.
And people, and so this isn't as much a stroll down memory lane as a little alert, because rates have just been rising gradually, but now they're starting to clip up. Yes? No?
Move on it. Get it done.
Okay.
Get it done. That's quite a story, Marshall. Were you thinking of becoming the real estate baron of the
Yes.
Well, here's the thing, Jim. 10 years later.
What about the boat?
10 years later, that house, which was on a hill overlooking the Hudson, which had a Dutch oven along in the kitchen. I mean, it was a gorgeous house. I had many parties at that house. That house sold for $1.2 million.
Right.
And I had bought it for like 30-some thousand. So if I could have hung on for 10 years, Jim.
But you didn't have $1,400 a month. But that is exactly what gets people in.
Yeah.
Just like teaser rates, just like ads. Like, oh, hey, you don't have to pay anything for 2 years. Then you got to pay your firstborn and your secondborn. But that's okay, because in 15 years, you'll be fine.
You're saying it very well. They give you that teaser, and with the teaser, you can do all kinds of machinations in your head about how easy it'll be. But most people in that area, get overly optimistic, and you can't fool around with mortgages. Plus, the bank has a lien on your property, so they have you coming and going.
Yep.
Anyhow,
I was going.
You were going, you were going, and they were coming.
I had to move. It was so bad.
I went.
It was so bad. I had to move to Maine.
And we know how that went.
Yeah.
Listen, I sense there's a great book in all of this conversation.
There's definitely a comedy act, because I will say this: the best part of all was the story of Marshall and the hockey game, not his return from Maine.
No, the best story of Maine. No, my first night in Maine, I was sitting at a Pizza Hut, and I was having a beer, and a guy looked over me and said, "What happened to you in your life that you had to move to Augusta?" That's a true story.
Right. And then the hockey story, since we're on it, is absolutely worth it. No, he's doing
now.
It. But that... it just shows that you adjust as quickly. You just have to adjust. But
all right.
Speaking of adjustable rates, you have to adjust. All
right,
so back to other, though, I'm sorry to interject, but other, there are shifts afoot, and once again, there's no, in my view, good information for regular people out there. There's plenty of information for people who have billions of dollars, but not so much for people who don't.
Well, the thing is, and what we're talking about here, it's folks who've been listening have great examples of what can happen. And, you don't need much more information than that. It's like a lot of things in life. When people are telling you things that seem too good to be true, well, that's right. They're too good to be true. So you apply that to an adjustable rate. You apply that to people wanting you to take out a credit for major purchases that you can't afford. But in terms of the adjustable rate mortgage, it's a pretty straightforward situation, generally speaking. So that information is available to you. But stay away from them. please stay away from them. The markets, the world as we know is getting driven by people putting tariffs and sanctions. I'm talking about countries throughout the world. Saudi Arabia now has stopped trading with Canada because Canada had the gall to say, hey, your program of getting women more equality is not quickly enough. So the young prince there, who's very aggressive and has fined a lot of Saudis big money, he's quite uppity, so he's not going to trade with Canada for a while. The U.S. has put sanctions on Turkey because they're not giving up a pastor who's there. The U.S. again has put sanctions on Iran, which is totally stupid since the other five members of the deal, China, Japan, Russia, so forth, they're maintaining the deal with Iran. And all this is going to do is drive up the price of oil. And so sometime in August, you're going to start seeing, you know, gas prices go up. It's just a great amount of turbulence. And I'm certain we've seen the turbulence on the television occurring because some people think global warming is causing a lot of this disturbance, in the world in terms of weather. And there you can get some very good information in terms of how this is happening. For instance, up in Massachusetts, up where you guys are, there were three tornadoes in the last several weeks, something unheard of. But it's this tremendous heat. And you get some cold in there, and it stirs up the atmosphere, and you get a tornado. This comes back to something that we're running away from. We're running away from reality that something's happening to the Earth, and we're going the other way. We're saying, "Oh no, it's not all these gas emissions we're putting." In the atmosphere that's causing it. It must be something else. Well, there's a chart. You can get it up. I think Bloomberg or somebody had it up on countries that now are very, very pro clean energy. And Germany is in the forefront of that. They gave up their nuclear and they went almost totally clean energy, and they're replacing everything with it. We, on the other hand, are on the bottom part of it. Anyhow, you know, when you vote, you should be voting on things such as this because it's a matter of your security and safety for yourself and your family.
You know, when you talk about the economy, Jim, when Donald Trump was elected, I was torn because I knew on some aspects he was going to be beneficial to Tri-State Public Communications, and it's not many aspects, but it's one, and that's what he's done with the FCC. It's freed us up to do a lot of things that we couldn't do before more easily with the FCC. And has Donald Trump helped the economy? Well, he's helped the upper end of the economy. Businesses are making more money. Businesses are doing more business. But I love when I hear people say, well, we can't understand why businesses are making more money. How come wages aren't up? Well, because they're not gonna. It doesn't. It's this is what Bernie Sanders and other people have said all along. When businesses make more money, it would be great if that money then was diverted back to people for jobs, but it's not. And so you're so conflicted when you look at. We only have a minute left, so I'll be quiet. You're so conflicted when you look at the economy humming along, and almost every worker is left out of the humming.
Well, all you have to do is look at your income tax in terms of the little break you got. Corporations went from 35% to 21%. That's a huge, huge number. Also, the corporations are taking their excess. They're buying stock back, which benefits, the more wealthy among us. So we really don't have a plan, a general plan for making things better. I just noticed in the somewhere that China has now been outspending us on this new G5 technology that they've started in the last couple of years. And, you know, we really don't have a plan. We don't have a leader who knows what's going on. And we don't really have the empathy for people, not just in terms of their health and so forth, but in terms of their lifestyle, being able to make a good dollar and save it and so forth. We've lost a lot of that stuff, and it's got to come home to roost.
All right, well, we have to roost now because we're out of time.
Well, I'm on my perch, so I will say adieu and have a great, great week, folks, and please drink plenty of water.
All right, we'll speak to you next week.
See you. You got it. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.